Blog Talk Radio.
And don't touch that dial because you are in the right place at the right time. Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm American broadcaster Victoria Gaither, and you are listening to News Talk and Conversation, and also joining me on the other side of the world in Foxton Beach, New Zealand, is New Zealand broadcaster Stu Frith. Stu, a very good morning to you, my friend.
Yes, good morning, Vicky. Well, good morning to everybody. Well, gosh, it's only morning here in New Zealand. It's different times all around the world, isn't it? You know, but
it's
a really
cold morning.
Because,
of course, it's only 9:30 there.
That's right. It's only 9:30, and, of course, it is also Thursday here. So we're a little bit ahead of you, but, yep, I'll tell you what, it's a cold morning. It's really a cold morning sitting here in the studio. The heaters are going flat out, and the air conditioning's going flat out. So, yes, it's nippy.
And speaking of cold, I saw on Facebook quite a few Kiwis and also Aussies have been skiing, and I see that some of the ski resorts there were so bombarded with people, they weren't expecting large crowds of people, that they had a heck of a time trying to deal with some of the crowds. So at least the ski resorts are happy. They're busy.
Yes, the ski resorts are happy, of course. And as you say, they are very busy. But next week it'll quieten down, but school goes back. We're in school holidays at the moment, so school goes back next week. So that'll have the kids back in the classrooms and the ski fields just being accommodated by adults.
Yes, and speaking of the kids, that was one of the topics of discussion on the show today. American kids are going to be headed back to school in some states, I mean, as early as August. So, of course, lawmakers and parents and teachers and mayors all around cities in America, small and big towns, are trying to figure out how that's going to work out. Of course, the president and also the American Pediatric Association, which is the group of doctors that kind of oversee the health of youth in America, they are recommending that kids go back to school. I think a lot of teachers and the teacher unions are concerned about this because of teachers possibly being contracted or being infected with the coronavirus. So that's one of the big things that we're dealing with right now here in America. Also, Stu, you would probably see on television there are a number of states. We've got an increase of cases, that being in California, in Florida, and also in Arizona. And just a couple of hours ago, Walmart and Sam's Club said that if you go into any of their over 5,000 stores, you have to wear a mask. Now, you're probably thinking, why is that such a big deal? Shouldn't they have a mask on anyway? Well, in some cities and towns, no, you weren't required even to go into Walmart or Sam's Club, that you had to wear a mask. So now Walmart is saying across the board, it doesn't matter what state, city, or town you're in, if you come into the store, you have to wear a mask. And I really think that's a good thing, Stu.
Yeah, of course, precaution is better than the cure, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Now, you guys have been having some cases there. You still have basically almost zero numbers, and the numbers that you do have was as a result of people coming into the country. But you've been having cases where people have been breaking quarantine.
Yes, yeah, unbelievable, really. I think we're about five people who have actually, four or five, I'm not quite sure what number is, people who have broken out of quarantine and done a runner uptown. One went uptown to buy some booze. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. And those sort of people, well, they need to be locked up behind bars, not behind windows, but behind bars, you know. One old lady in her 60s actually broke the window and climbed out the window. So, you know, that makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you know, it's one of those things that I'm not laughing in the sense that it's a serious situation, but, you know, to break a quarantine to go to get booze and to break quarantine just because you're just sick and tired of being there, you know, that just basically kind of shows you people and how people are and what they're going to tolerate versus what they're not going to tolerate. Interesting enough, in the state of Maryland, 3 hours outside of Washington, D.C., it's a very popular destination called Ocean City. That's where a lot of people from Maryland and also the D.C. area, New York and New Jersey, they go on a holiday. It's a summer beach resort town, and they every single day you look on the local news Facebook page, they've been having different restaurants that have been closing. Workers have been testing positive for the coronavirus. In some cases, the restaurants are saying, look, we're closing just because we want to do a thorough cleaning, not that anything is wrong, but because of the amount of people that are coming through these restaurants, they just want to make sure that, you know, that it's sanitized and that they can sort of stay ahead of it. But it's interesting because there you're not having any of those problems. Everything is back open, isn't it?
Yes, everything's pretty much open again. I heard actually on the radio this morning, on news this morning on the radio, that there is some new testing way of testing for this virus, and it's a real upmarket. New Zealand's poured thousands of dollars into it, and evidently if this is successful, it will actually help open up the borders again. So that is great news, isn't it?
That is great news because, of course, the borders that you're talking about is with Australia, because the two countries there very much rely on each other for goods and services, and you've got so many Kiwis that live in Australia and Aussies that go to New Zealand, so that relationship is very important between the two countries, isn't it?
Well, the way I read it, I've only heard it this morning, so next week I will know more about it when we talk on radio tomorrow, next week. But the way I understood it is that it's going to open up the borders for all borders for, like, American and everyone coming into New Zealand, because they can be tested there and then, bang, just simple as that.
Oh, well, yeah, no, that is that is fantastic because, yeah, you know, once you can resume that type of relationship and commerce and going back and forth, I think it's only good for everyone. I did also see a story in Australia that Australia and some states are going to have returning Aussies contribute to having to pay for quarantine. I know there's been some talk of that there in New Zealand, but it hasn't gotten much traction besides talk. But yeah, Australia is looking at having people come back after a certain date that they are going to have to contribute to pay for a cost in a quarantine. Because this quarantine, you know, you think about it, you've got to have people in hotels for 2 weeks. They've got to be fed three times a day. It's quite costly, isn't it? I mean, it would be costing the New Zealand government millions of dollars.
Yeah, it is. It's costing New Zealand government millions of dollars. And it would make you wonder why people would want to escape it. They're living in the lap of luxury, getting fantastic food, and they're just laying back there for a whole fortnight watching TV in their room and being waited upon. Now, how good is that? You know, it's pretty cool, isn't it? The only thing they have to pay for at the moment is if they get into the fridge and take the hotel's rooms drinks, you know, that are in the fridge,
right,
in little shops. And they have to pay for them. But otherwise, I think they can actually order beer from the bar in some of the big hotels. So, yep, it's wonder why you would want to escape. I'd quite like to go there for a fortnight and live in the warmth and everything else. Yeah,
I know, it sounds... It sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good to me as well. Staying in on the same subject of the coronavirus and all of that that's happening, I did see on the BBC News this morning, they have a story about llamas, that being the animals, and that they have some type of that their blood could actually help fight the coronavirus. So apparently they take a drop of blood from the llama. Researchers say that they've identified antibodies which show a weak binding to the virus. So, yeah, I mean, who would ever know that llama's blood could actually help with the virus? So this just goes to show, I think, that, you know, researchers around the world, you know, they're pulling out all the stops and trying to think of every single thing that they can do to try to combat this devastating problem.
That's amazing, isn't it? And it'd make you wonder why they would go and test a llama's blood, wouldn't it? It'd make you really wonder why that sort of came to the foreground and said, hey, you know, there's some a possibility in here, you know? You think, you know, they could have found it in an elephant or anything, couldn't they? But they found it in a llama,
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and that was one of the thoughts that went through my mind. Now, I also have some breaking news to tell everybody about. It may be not so important, but I think you'll find this important, that there is a squirrel, because I know how much you love squirrels in America, there is a squirrel that has tested positive for the bubonic plague in Colorado. This is the first case this year. Now, if you know anything about history, the bubonic plague killed an estimated 50 million people in Europe in the Middle Ages. So they have one little squirrel there in Colorado that has tested positive for that. And the reason why, of course, I bring up squirrels, because Americans have a love-hate relationship with these squirrels. I mean, these buggers are all over the place. You know, if you put a bird feeder out there, they always figure out how to go into the bird feeder to eat the seed, and they can just sometimes wreak havoc all over. And they actually do carry quite a few diseases. But you absolutely love these because, of course, you don't have them in New Zealand nor Australia. So your experience with them was wonderful.
I thought they were quite neat little creatures, you know. But, well, Colorado, what are they going to do with the squirrels? You can see it's going to come to that extent that they'll be wiping them out. It'll be coming like the New Zealand possum, you know. They'll be hunted, won't they?
Yeah, well, and I'm sure what will happen now, they probably would lay traps and catch more to see if they actually test positive for it as well. But, yeah, so I don't know what's going on there, but I know that that really made news here in America. And it's one of those things where you see that and you just think, oh, goodness, now something else. You know, it seems like every single week, you know, there's something that happened here, whether it's a squirrel, whether it's a human, whether it's this, whether it's that, and you're just thinking, when is enough enough? But clearly it's not because of that. And speaking of animals, you know that I have been fighting a problem with deers eating plants. So the amount of deers in the States that will eat plants in your garden, it's absolutely amazing. So I went out there this morning. There was one plant that was left, and it is all gone. And it's quite interesting because the way that these deers actually pick the top of the flowers, they're not savages in the sense that they just sort of bite and ravage the entire plant. They're very particular about, you know, just the part of it that they want to eat, and then they just leave the rest. Now, in your case, you would have to deal with all of the butterflies, right, that eat the flowers there.
Yeah, well, they don't so much eat the flowers, but they lay their eggs on the leaves, and that's mass production, you know. But, of course, the deer are dainty eaters, you know, so they're not there just munching off out on it. They're just nibbling. So it's not a major one, really. You just need to plant more flowers to accommodate the deer.
I saw a group on Facebook, and they were having a discussion about, you know, deers eating plants and flowers in this. One lady said, well, just solve the problem and just bring all the flowers inside the house and don't plant anything outside. So, of course, you can imagine the reaction she got. You know, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, part of the joy of planting is outside. You know, you're able to go out and look in your garden and see this and that. But I think your solution would be an electric fence, right? You'll just stick a fence around everything and just solve the problem.
Yeah, electric fences. You know, we control cattle and everything in New Zealand with electric fences, so I don't see why I can't control the deer over there in America. You know, they're better. In fact, I think the cattle might be more interested in the electric fence. You can see, actually, when you've got electric fence up in New Zealand, and if the cattle are a bit suspicious of it, they'll actually put their nose quietly up to it, and they can actually sense it when it's giving the electric shocks through. So that's amazing, isn't it? Sense it through your nose, you know? So that's a lesson to be learned, and then perhaps next time you're in New Zealand, when you want to test out the fence, instead of backing your backside onto it, you can actually snip it and see.
Listen, I have had that experience. I never want it again. Now, it did cure my my lower back pain. I have not had it since then, but I would never want to experience that again. It is literally, I guess, the best way to describe it. It's shocking, because it really is shocking.
It is literally shocking.
I've got fantastic
news for you. It's broken out in New Zealand. And of course, we're coming up to election time, which is only a matter of weeks away, about 5 weeks or something, I think it is. And we had a new National Party leader come in, because he rolled the previous leader of the National Party. It's Labor that's leading the government at this stage, Jacinda Ardern. Everybody knows that name. But anyway, this gentleman came in and he rolled Simon Bridges, and he took over the leadership of the National Party. Now, what happened? He's only been in power for something like 50 days or something. And anyway, he's resigned. He's made history. This chap that's leading the National Party has made history. And it was funny, because when he was interviewed by one of the interviewers for radio, they said to him, "You must have to have a backbone of steel for this job." And he said, his reply was, "Yes, you do have to have a backbone of steel, and I've got it." Well, it turned out to be a lie. It turned out to be a lie. Right. Just another one from the National Party, because his backbone of steel has been big time, and he's resigned. So now we have another minister in there who's been brought forward to lead the National Party, and of course that's none other than the lady that's got the fantastic name of Crusher, Judith Collins. She's a nickname Crusher because when she was in power before of the police department and the boy races, she said there's only one way to handle these guys, because they won't behave and they're kicking up hell, we'll crush their cars. So she crushed three cars. Now, the biggest problem was there, I don't mean to hold you up, but the biggest problem was there, two of them were boy races. And one was a public car on the side of the road, and they crushed the wrong car. So, more disaster.
Ah.
So, and I learned this morning also that there's been another couple of people in the National Party who have said that they will not be standing for voting this year. So, well, there you are, not standing for election. So, National Party's in a bit of a chaos at the moment. So, it'd be interesting to see what.
Yeah,
happens,
it's certainly. You know? It certainly seems that way, and from where I am sitting on this side of the world, I don't care who the National Party puts in. No one can beat Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. I just don't see that's going to happen, whether it's Judith Collins or, you know, whoever they want to bring from the back bench up to the front bench. I just don't see that, you know, that she can be that she can be beaten. I mean, the only way that she's not going to be prime minister is if she makes the decision that she's not going to run, and we all know that she is going to run again in September. And the thing is, it's really hard to beat her, because, you know, in her tenure so far, she said three or four major things that has happened in the country: the Christchurch shooting, the earthquakes, the coronavirus, and there's another one I just can't seem to think of it, so excuse me, but you can research it. But, you know, she has brought the country through all of these very, very serious incidents, and some obviously worldwide, and she's brought the country through. So I just don't, you know, I don't see that people in New Zealand are going to want to get rid of her. And not only that, you know, she's very, very much known around the world. She's not only a leader in New Zealand, she is what you would consider a world leader. So good luck to National. But if I'm a betting woman, and I don't normally bet, but I will on this one, there's no one that they're going to put forth who's going to beat her. So that's my two cents there.
Well, I hope your two cents is right. That's all I can say. I hope your two cents is right, because she is doing a good job. But of course, she has thrown a lot of money at it. You know, got to be fair, she has thrown millions of dollars at this virus and everything else. Of course, that's why everybody says, how the hell are we going to pay it back? Well, we're in good standing as far as our money is concerned with other countries, and where we borrow the money from, wherever that is, I don't know. But anyway, so, yeah, it's got a good rating. So, National reckon that they're the only party that can clean it up and pay the debt off again, you know. But Well, we've got to get everybody, keep everybody alive before we can pay debt, don't we?
Right. And I think, you know, in the larger scope of things, I think New Zealanders and Aussies at this point aren't worried about a debt. They're worried about day-to-day living. They're worried about how they're going to eat. They're worried about putting petrol inside their car. They're worried about so many other things. They're worried about their way of life as opposed to worrying about a debt, because I think if you live long enough, you get to understand a debt is always going to be there. Eventually, it will get paid off. Will it get paid off in your lifetime or under, you know, that particular government or administration? It may or it may not. So I just think that, you know, to everyday people, that's the last thing that they're thinking about. They're worried about their own debts and how they're going to eat.
Yeah, very true. Very true indeed. I totally agree with you.
Now, one thing that I do want to mention as we continue to discuss the lovely, my adoptive country of New Zealand, what is going on with the strippers that's going to be streaming live day and night for 12 weeks in this Playboy-style mansion in Christchurch? You mentioned that to me, so I went to go read the article, and it's going to be an online internet show where they're going to have strippers. So this, I mean, that's a bit raunchy for Kiwis, isn't it?
Well, it's like a Big Brother, isn't it? That's what they're calling it, Big Brother New Zealand or something like that. And, yes, they've brought in strippers to be in this procedure, you know. Give me a hang around the words.
The show.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I can see if it's, you know, depending on what sort of show it comes out to be like, I can see that all the Gmails and everything else and internet are going to get jammed, don't they? Because there's people all over the world and I want to see these strippers, you know? It's going to be unbelievable.
Right.
So
I wonder, I'm sitting here wondering if your internet will get jammed when it comes on. Will you be watching it? We want to know.
Well, knowing me, it'll mostly be on late at night, and by then I'll be asleep. So
okay.
unless I can find replays, yeah. No, I won't.
Okay. Well, we'll hold you. We will hold you to that. I want to move on to something else big that happened here in Washington, D.C., and if you don't follow it overseas, you may not, but it's just a big deal in America. Our football team, the Washington Redskins, they are finally going to drop the name. Now, Redskins itself, that name is considered to be a racial slur. Native Americans, Stu, for years and years, ever since I can remember I was a little girl, have been protesting this, saying, listen, you have to change the name. But the two big owners always said, you know, hell will basically freeze before we do that. So hell has frozen because Federal Express, who signed a $205 million contract deal with the Redskins to have their name up there, actually sent them a letter a couple of weeks ago and said, listen, we're going to remove all of our signage. We're going to remove every single thing, and we want out of this deal if you do not get rid of this name. And also Walmart, Target, and Amazon, all these stores, big box stores here in America, said that they're no longer going to sell the sports apparel. So a couple of days ago, big breaking news came out that the Redskins management said that they are going to drop the name. So we don't know what name they've actually come up with, but that is just huge, huge news. And it's interesting to see, you know, fans' reaction. But I think the timing on that is right because, of course, you've got the Black Lives Matter movement taking place here in America right now. You know, you have everybody having discussions about race. You've got everybody having these discussions. So so the time for them to do it, I think, was right. And I personally think that it was the right thing to do. I'm a Washingtonian. I was born and raised in D.C. I grew up knowing the name Redskins, and it wasn't until I probably got to, I would say junior high school when I would, because I used to live by one of the stadiums, and we'd walk by the stadium, and I would see these protesters, these Native Americans, and they would have their signs, and you would ask family members and people, you know, why are they out there protesting? So It was when I was in my teens that I learned that that was not a very nice name, that it was considered a racial slur. So ever since that, you know, it just, I always thought that they should change the name, because if it offends an entire group of people and that's how they perceive it, and history shows us, in conjunction with how that name was used, and it was used racially, then they should have gotten rid of it. But anyway, it took all of this time. So, like I said, that may not be something that you guys would have heard about over there, overseas, but it's been a big, big story here in the States.
I just had a big shake go through the house, and I'm sort of getting ready to do a freezer out the door, and thinking it was an earthquake, but it wasn't. It was a truck driving down the street with a big load off. So, for that.
That really would have been that really would have been breaking news for us here if it was a earthquake, wouldn't it?
That's right. It's funny you didn't hear the studio shake, you know, and rattle because all the instruments and everything in here. But yeah, thank goodness it's just a truck. So breathe again.
Yes, I can. We can both breathe again. Something else that I wanted to mention, not good news, but I think it's worth mentioning. Locally, we down in Ocean City, Maryland, I mentioned that before, we had a 22-year-old young man. He was a popular kid. Well, not kid, young man, very popular in high school. Everybody in the area knew him, and he fell from a balcony, the third floor, I believe, and died. So that has just been devastating. You know, it's devastating when anyone dies, but when you're 22 years old, it's absolutely horrible. His mother wrote on Facebook, you know, make sure you tell people in your life that you love them and cherish them. She said, this morning I woke up saying, you know, seeing my son, and she says, and now I go to bed and he's dead. And she said, 22 years old is too effing young to be gone from this earth. And then, of course, I know you would have heard about this there overseas, the Glee actress, Naya Rivera. She died after drowning in a lake there in California. Apparently, she and her 4-year-old went swimming. And what they're saying they think happened is that she obviously got into some type of distress in the water, but she was able to get her 4-year-old back on the boat and saved his life, but obviously she couldn't save her own life. And that's just absolutely just tragic, you know. And we've seen video on the news here of her and her 4-year-old, you know, getting on the pontoon boat, going out there on the lake. And there were quite a few people, and I don't know a lot about lakes myself, to be honest, but there were quite a few people that's been talking about this on the news here that were just saying how dangerous lakes are, because you've got so much vegetation, and it's so easy for your arm or for your leg or for undercurrents to sort of get you tangled up, and you just go under. So it seems like that they think that it was either a current or that she got tangled up and just, you know, knew that she was in trouble, but she was able to get her 4-year-old son back onto that boat. Remarkable story, but sad at the same time.
Who was she married to?
I can't think of the name of her husband, but Glee was a very popular show here in America, and she was one of the actresses that played on Glee. Now, Glee itself, people say the show is cursed because she is now the third actress that has died from that show. So two other famous actors have died from that show, and now she's the third. I can't remember who they were no longer together, the baby's father, but just a really sad story.
Yeah, I heard of an actress that died the other day, and I don't know who she was. I can't remember the name, but she was married to John Travolta. Remember from out of Greece?
Oh, yes. You're right. She died, too. She was battling breast cancer for the past 2 years, and she died. Kelly is her first name. I don't know if she used John's last name or she had her surname, but, yes, that was his wife. Yes, Kelly is her name. Yes, she did die.
Too. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, we're nearly out of time.
Yeah, so, Yeah, I know. So very, very sad. I forgot to mention this a few minutes ago, as we always do. If you're just joining us, you're listening to News Talk and Conversation. Thanks for spending some time with us. I'm American journalist Victoria Gaither on the other side of the world, there in New Zealand in Foxton Beach, the best place to be in all of New Zealand, is broadcaster Stu Frith. And you can join us on Wednesdays, 9:30 in the morning, New Zealand time, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time here in America. So we always love it when you hang out with us. And for those of you that listen later on podcasts, thanks for taking the time to go back and listen to the show as well. Mm-hmm. I saw on stuff.co.nz that Alcatraz is reopening for guided tours. Now, for everybody in America, if you don't know what Alcatraz is, that is a local place there in the Huerfenor district. Is it in Shannon or outside of Shannon? Alcatraz, too.
No, it's just on the outskirts of Shannon. I think it might even still be in the Shannon limits, you know, but been here for a long time. But I did hear that actually it was on the market to be sold. So
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so it still is, I think, because the owner, I believe the wife, went through cancer and she had been sick, so they've just decided that I think she's better, though, but I think they've just decided that they've been doing it for a very, very long time and they just want to sell it. But, of course, like everything else, it had been closed as a result of the coronavirus, so it is now reopened for guided tours. So I have never been. And I don't think you've ever been there, but yeah, it's a quite popular place. Locals say it's a bit pricey for what you get, but in any event, I just saw that and just thought that I would mention it.
Yeah, well, we can only wish Janet and Ross all the best for the future, because this cancer is just as bad as what the virus is, isn't it? You know, and it's not a nice thing.
Yes.
So all the best to Janet. So I hope it goes well for her.
Yep, that is true. Listen, we've got really one other thing to talk about, which is Delta Goodrum from Australia. But before we get to her, you made some beautiful scones yesterday. Have you eaten any of them? Tell us about them.
Oh, have I eaten any of them? Well, you could see the way I'm sitting here in my armchair in the studio and see the bulge in front of me, you would know that I've eaten them. They turned out
so that
not.
Would be a yes.
They were absolutely perfect. Yeah, they were perfect scones. They're the best scones I've ever made. Of course, only three ingredients in them, 300 mils of cream, 300 mils of lemonade, and flour, four cupfuls of flour. And that was meant to be standard flour, but I put baking powder in it to make them rise a bit, and they turned out perfect. But before I put them into the oven, I brushed the top of them with milk, and that's what made them brown up, and they're really good scones.
Well, they look absolutely delicious, and I always like to mention your baking and your cooking, because you are known for that, and that's always something that especially all the ladies here in America that follow you and listen to the show, they're always interested in what you're cooking, what you're baking. So, yeah, I just happened to know that you did make some yesterday, so I thought I would mention that. Also, ending the show, I would like to mention somebody that you introduced me to, because I didn't know anything about the one and only Delta Goodrum, and she is a pop singer, a superstar, a television star in Australia, and she apparently last week made a big announcement. She surprised her fans by announcing that she is going to be doing a Australia and New Zealand tour in April of 2021 for her Bridge Over Troubled Dreams tour. So she's going to have shows in Wellington, Christchurch, and Auckland. So there you have it. Fantastic.
Absolutely awesome. And I think you should be home for that, because I need to go to Wellington.
You need to go to that show. Well, in the meantime, I do have a song of hers to play. I can't think of the name of it, but what is it? You were the one that told me to get that particular song to end the show with.
Sitting on Top of the World.
Yes, yes, yes. I believe that is what we are going to listen to. That's one of your favorites, and it's also one of my favorites. So if you don't know anything about her, listen, you're missing out. Go on YouTube. You know, she is really, really big, not only in Australia, but also in New Zealand as well. She's not a household name here in America, so I can't say that she is. But if you seek her out, I assure you guys, you're going to fall in love with her. She's gorgeous, she's smart, she's savvy, and she's got a beautiful voice, doesn't she?
She certainly does. And, of course, if you're in America and you haven't heard her and all of a sudden you do click on it and search her on the internet and you're talking to her, tell her that Victoria and Stu put you her way.
Yes, tell her that we said hello and that we'll be looking forward to an interview with her when she does her overseas trip. So that's good. Anything else, my friend, you want to talk about before we listen to a little bit of Delta?
Del, just quickly before I go, I also made yesterday a sponge pudding. Now, this was a pure trial thing, and I peeled 6 apples and chopped them up, stewed them, and then I added to it a jar of peach pulp. Now, you were here when I made the peach pulp. You'll remember that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I added a jar of peach pulp and stirred it all together, added a little bit of sugar to it, not much, about 4 tablespoons of sugar, and cooked it and then added it to the dish and then put a sponge topping on top of it and baked it in the oven. I tell you what, that is pretty awesome as well. So you are missing
it
out
sounds
on top
delicious.
Of food. You know, it's lovely. So come home.
I will do that just to try that baking out. Listen, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. We will be back with you next week. Don't forget, that's 9:30 in the morning New Zealand time, and that's 5:30 Eastern Standard Time here in America. And we always enjoy it when you listen. Leave any of your comments, and, you know, if there's a topic or something that you want us to talk about, always open to what you have to say, and we're more than happy to talk about it. So with that, let's go ahead and listen to Sitting on Top of the World.